Hello.
What was that?
That was you signing in.
Hello and welcome to the DD&D podcast, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything but Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
So what are you doing?
Staring at a bunch of chickens.
Just
watching the chicks walk by.
Do what?
Just watching the chicks walk by.
Just watching the chicks. Too bad you're not Gonzo.
Gonzo?
Yeah. Gonzo loves chickens.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm across the street from the Speedway.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. The Memphis Speedway. Just on the other side of that is an airport, a small engine airport. And so there's a bunch of planes taking off in the background. I thought there was a race car driving around earlier too, but I also thought it was an airplane, so who knows. Anyways, I'm out here foraging.
Yay.
Yeah, found a whole bunch of dewberries.
Well, David Powers just asked me tonight to start teaching him how to forage.
Who?
One of Bill's friends. Another David.
There you go.
And explain to him when we get our farm set up, that's basically what we want people to come over and learn how to do.
Cool. Yeah. Although they won't be foraging so much because everything will be fresh and growing right there.
Well, yeah, you know, I would have a tendency to remove those things, which I don't know what their value is.
Yeah.
But I'd also have a tendency to look up those things I don't know. So.
Right. Well. Yeah. Our bed and breakfast.
Go ahead.
I said our bed and breakfast, if you will, when we get the retreat set up, will be kind of like a foraging for your food because they'll go out and pick their own food from our food forest.
There you go.
But yeah, it won't be quite like foraging because our whole property will be nothing but, well, not nothing but, yeah, it'll be a food forest.
We'll have little charts and signs drawn up. This is what you're looking for. This is the part you pick.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm foraging while I still have daylight. And this is the jackpot for the day. I stopped earlier and foraged, and I didn't really hardly find anything. So now I'm happy. Happy, happy.
Ah, stuff in your face.
Yeah, with berries.
Honestly, when I got sick last week, I don't want to insult the person who's been preparing the meals and such, but I think the reason I got sick is because I hadn't been foraging.
Right. Eating too much regular food instead of real food.
Well, the regular food that I eat here is pretty much real food, but yeah, it needs, there wasn't enough wild content.
Right.
You know.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
I mean, their regular food is healthier than most people's regular food because they're as natural as you can get when you come to regular food. Well, maybe not as natural as you can get, but pretty close.
They still buy in the grocery store and such like that, but I mean, it's a real home-cooked meal. It's not.
Right.
Yeah. Bill took me into town today, and while we were in town, we stopped at Burger King, and I got a Whopper, a double Whopper, and he got two of those.
Blasphemy!
Yeah, two of those double burger whatever thingies, you know, where it's basically a hoagie roll with two sliders on either side. Anyway, it didn't taste too good.
No.
I'm like, ew. Yeah.
I used to love Whoppers, but I can't stand them anymore.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, at least from the grizzly little bits that it was actual hamburger. But, I mean, you know, it wasn't. I mean, I guess these people have spoiled me. I've had venison burgers and things like that, you know. It makes a difference, you know, if your meat's been grass-fed and wild-fed, you know.
Yeah, though I'm not a big fan of venison. I do prefer my stuff to be wild.
Yeah.
Well, as natural as possible. I like venison sausage.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing I eat at Burger King, if I eat there, is their chicken sandwiches. That's it. I won't eat anything else.
Yeah. Talking of being sick, since I've gotten over being sick, I'm clearly not really over it. Every morning, I've woke up sweaty. But cold. I'm physically cold, but I'm sweaty. And so I'm laying in a bed where it's not as bad as the first time. The first time I soaked all my bedding and had to wash everything. But well, you know, it was soaked with sweat, you know, and I figured that was, you know, me breaking my fever or whatever, right? But, I mean, everything was wet. I mean, it was, you know, you could wring water out of it.
Did you wet the bed?
Yeah, except with sweat. It wasn't pee. Anyway.
Sure.
Yeah, I know what you're trying to accuse me of. You're just an evil little guy.
I am. Just ask the trick.
Anyway.
I evil? Yes, I am. Go ahead.
Anyway, I'm trying to figure out why I'm sweating every morning.
You been taking niacin?
Yeah, that too, but that'd make me warm. So
it might make you sweat.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it'd make me warm. What's happening to me is I'm cold.
But it still sounds like you're having a feverish okay, those are race cars.
I kind of heard that in the background.
I know I was hearing race cars and airplanes, but I wasn't. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, so you're still not quite over it, but you're almost over it, because otherwise you wouldn't be having...
Yeah, I don't have a fever anymore.
Right, but you're still having the feverish symptoms.
Yeah, I'm having basically cold sweats.
Yeah.
And it's... It's not exactly comfortable waking up on a day when it's only 40 degrees out in the morning. And you're too moist to get up and get out. You know?
Get up and get out.
Anyway, this last morning was better than the previous two. Because all I had to do is wrap up my blanket and get warm, and that was enough to dry me off. But
cool.
It's still kind of disturbing to get your bedding wet. I mean, if it was hot out, I could understand, you know, just lay down on top of the blanket. But, you know, it's not hot out.
Right. What happened to spring and summer?
I don't know. I mean, we had summer for a little bit, and then it went away.
Yeah. Well, start getting out there and foraging.
Yep.
Yep.
Got plenty of yarrow out here now.
Cool. Yeah, I haven't found any yarrow so much. There's tons of grapes, but they're not ready yet. Clovers. Tons of clovers.
Yep.
What's the other clover called that's not actually a clover?
I'm not sure what you're talking about. So you're talking about a related plant?
Well,
like alfalfa?
I don't think it's alfalfa. Well, it might be in the alfalfa family, but...
Lesbeteza?
You know, the Irish four-leaf clover?
Oh.
Yeah,
well,
that
has to be clover, but there's also sorrow.
Sorrow. That's the word.
Now, the ones you're picking, do they have bright yellow flowers?
Yeah.
All right. There's a native one here that has purple flowers, and the leaves have purple tinge to them. But it's
okay.
The same plant. Kind of neat.
Yeah. Sorrow.
And wood sorrow.
I keep forgetting the name of it, but it is a clover, but that's just technical
name.
Yeah,
kids call them pickles sometimes.
It's called what?
Kids sometimes call them pickles because the seed pod is like a pickle spear. It looks more like a miniature...
Okra?
Okra, yeah. But they're sour, like a pickle. So kids call them pickles.
Got it. Yeah, I love those. I've been eating them since I was a kid.
Yeah, the whole plant is sour.
Yeah, I like the seed pods the most and the leaves the second most.
Yeah, those grow from some sort of bulb.
Oh, okay. I never dug them up. I pulled up the roots, but not the bulb.
Yeah, it's got a little bulb, almost like an onion bulb.
Oh, I'm going to have to start digging them up and bringing them to the land.
More like a garlic.
Garlic.
But, you know, it's obviously not because it's not growing a garlic plant or an onion plant. It's growing a three-leaf clover.
Here's a manhole going through the sewer.
Woohoo.
With no lid on the manhole, I can climb down there. Play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I used to do that as a teenager.
Me too. Oh, wow. Yeah, I could fit down there. In the tunnel.
Woohoo.
I didn't think Memphis had that big of a water drainage system, but I guess they do.
Hey, is Memphis the city that has the pyramid in the middle of downtown?
Yes.
And it was there before the town. Which kind of freaked.
Oh, I don't know about that, but it's like a glass pyramid.
No. There's a stone pyramid sticking out of the ground.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
They might have built the glass one over the top of it.
Right. That could be what it is. Because I've only seen the glass one.
I don't remember if it's Memphis or where, but some town has a pyramid in it that was there before the town existed.
Interesting.
It's just the tip of the pyramid.
Hey, here's poor man's pepper.
Poor man's pepper. Yeah, what I pointed out to you is poor man's pepper might not actually be poor man's pepper, but it's related, and it's there's a whole series of plants that are just variations on that theme. They're all edible. They're all in the mustard family. And
but they don't all taste the same.
True. I think psyllium is in the family also, and it's sweet compared to the others.
Okay, well, this one doesn't taste as good as the other ones that I've had. And then one that I had was real spicy.
Oh, yeah. And it depends on when you catch it and, you know, that kind of stuff, too. There's one they use for decoration. The seed pods get to be about an inch and a half in diameter. Still has tiny seeds in it, but the seed pod gets about an inch and a half in diameter. And then the walls of the seed pod turn into sort of like this gray cellophane, and they use it for decoration.
Hmm.
But it's the same family too.
Yellow dock.
Yellow dock, curly dock, red dock.
Duck, duck, goose.
And a duck is in the buckwheat family.
Buckwheat? That used to be my nickname.
Buckwheat?
No, I'm just kidding.
Did you have the alfalfa sprout sticking out of the top of your head?
Nah. I think my brother did.
No wonder he turned into a bad boy.
Yeah. Tons of berries. And a little bit of wild lettuce.
Wild lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
Often called spiny lettuce.
Spiny?
Spiny, yeah, because it has the spines along the spine.
Mm. Yeah, too bad the grapes aren't ready. I'm ready for them.
And don't bring home any porcelain berries.
What are they?
They're related to the grape.
Oh, but they're
and
the poison.
No, they're not poisonous. I know some books say they are. They're not poisonous at all, actually. They just taste nasty.
Oh, okay.
No, they've got a white milk inside them. Their juice is white instead of like a grape. And they call them porcelain berries because they look like porcelain beads.
Okay.
And it's all the colors you expect to see in a grape, but it's kind of mixed together in a weird way. So
interesting. But it has no flavor.
It has a flavor. It just doesn't taste very good.
Mm.
Not in my opinion. But, you know, hey, that could be like, you know, most wild grapes to me don't taste good.
Oh, okay.
So it could be wild porcelain berry won't taste good either. But,
well, I taste test everything I bring to the land, so. If I bring it to the land, it tastes good.
Okay.
At least in my opinion. But you know what they say about opinions.
Yeah, wait until you taste the product of what you planted.
Ooh,
that. Right, oh, dig that one up.
Oh, what? Oh. Yeah. Well, we'll just feed it to the goats.
Feed it to the goats. Well, yeah, chickens love porcelain berry. So we had porcelain berry. And the leaves, you can't tell the difference between a porcelain berry leaf and a grapevine leaf as far as flavor goes.
No, okay.
So.
What are the leaves good for besides eating?
Well, people cook with them.
Okay.
You know, they cook with grapevine leaf, porcelain berry leaf, same difference. They taste the same. They look the same. You know where I can tell the difference between a grapevine and a porcelain berry vine is the way the flowers occur on the two plants.
Right.
You know how a grapevine has tendrils that reach out and wrap around things?
Okay.
Okay, and then their flowers are on a separate stem. Okay? Porcelain berry, the flower clusters are a different shape, but they come off the end of the tendrils. Now, if the tendril happens to wrap around something, it drops the flower and becomes a tendril. All right?
Oh, gotcha.
But if it develops the flower long enough, it becomes a flower stem instead. And that's the major difference between grape and porcelain berry.
Mm. There's a buttload of dewberries here.
So dewberries being blackberries with fewer clusters.
Yeah.
Fewer granules.
Granules, yes. And they grow lower to the ground, it seems like.
They're more of a spreading plant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Brian was pointing that out last time we were at his farm.
That's how I knew they were dewberries. Because, well, if Brian knows what he's talking about.
Oh, you were there when he pointed it out.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he thought you were weird. What? You want to harvest what? Yeah,
well,
get all that out of here.
I was harvesting the dandelion seeds and the chickweed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, how's the chickweed doing that we planted?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You're supposed to be paying attention to these things.
I was sick for a solid week, and I haven't been over there enough to even do fencing. So I need to, that's something I need to do. I meant to do that yesterday, and I just completely took a break yesterday. And then, like I said, Bill took me into town today.
Wow.
So, tomorrow I'm probably going to be spending the whole day on the land. up until I get rained on.
There you go. Yeah, these dewberries aren't as vicious either when you go to pick and go to forage. They're not as vicious as the blackberries with their thorns.
Yep.
Because even though I just got gotten once so far, it wasn't near as bad as blackberries.
I'm not seeing as many thistles on our property this year. So,
okay.
One of the things I was reading in the permaculture, they're talking about, you know, if you've got things like thistle on your land, you should really look up what does that mean. Now, he happened to be talking about thistle, so that gave an advantage. Thistle likes to accumulate iron and copper. And so one of the indications is that your soil could be deficient of iron and copper. And so the thistle is accumulating it. All right? So one of the things you might ask yourself when you got an overabundance of a certain plant that's not as sellable is what relative could I put in to replace it? You know, and what can I do to the amend of soil to, reduce the need for that plant to even exist? And so one of the things you could do is, well, another thing a thistle might be for, and he didn't indicate because, you know, you need to look these things up to verify them, but it could be you have compacted soil. And things like thistle would definitely break up compacted soil.
Right.
All right. So you might have thistle one year, then the next year nothing. You know. But one of the things he pointed out is you got thistle, globe artichokes are closely related. Plant those.
Artichoke.
Globe artichokes.
What is that?
That's that fancy-dancy vegetable that some yuppies like to buy and eat one spine at a time off the flower head.
What's a yuppie?
Some would say you'd be a yuppie.
According to my second wife, I'm a ghetto redneck hippie techno trucker. Now I would be a ghetto redneck hippie techno farmer trucker.
There you go.
Forager. Weedologist.
Yeah.
Ow. I'm getting to be a weedologist. I'm not quite there yet, though.
I don't know. You're probably as far along as I am.
Oh, no.
You're actually applying it at this point. I haven't applied it for about a year now.
Slacker.
I still eat my plantain and my wild lettuce and my yoga.
Plantain, wild lettuce, and what?
Yarrow.
I put the yarrow in my tea. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't do the plantain as much as I should, but I do eat a lot of dandelions. Oh. Speaking of which, I almost got Lori to the point of eating dandelions.
Lori?
My Lori, not your Lori.
Okay. You have a lorry?
You know the lorry that I was courting, what, a year and a half ago?
I know.
Oh, okay.
I'm just teasing.
Oh, okay. I still like her, but she's only a 1.5. She's too much of a twin like you. You're only a 1.5 also.
Okay.
But I'm not interested in dating you.
No. No. I'm glad of it. Yeah. Yeah, that could be scary.
Yeah, just a little. Them spotting words there. Yeah, plantain. I haven't been eating that like I should, but I do pick the yarrow. I'll put that in my tea. Dandelions, wild lettuce. Oh. At a truck stop on the way down here, I picked some mulberries. So the mulberries are blooming. That was in Illinois. So they should be blooming in our area here shortly.
Yeah. Definitely need some mulberry trees on our property.
I know.
Especially
not
along
enough,
the water.
Not enough birds have been pooping on our land.
Well,
pooping mulberry poop. Not enough birds have been pooping mulberry poop on our land.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
But I think I did plant some mulberry seeds last year, so we should have some sprouts coming up this year.
Sounds good.
Yeah. It might be next year till we get some blackberries, I mean mulberries. But, yeah, I planted some the regular ones and then the albino ones.
White mulberry?
White mulberry, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like the white mulberry myself, but...
No, they're not as tasty.
That's more of a yuppie mulberry.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Yeah, because it doesn't stain your car when birds poop on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they look like grubs. So that's...
And tastes like one, too.
Yeah, probably tastes like them. It took me a minute to eat one because it looked like a grub. I was like, oh, it looks gross.
So white and pale with purple edges.
Yeah, but didn't have purple edges. Well, it did have like little tiny purple dots on it.
Yep.
All right, I pretty much ran out of berries. I'm over here in the corner.
White mulberry is the preferred mulberry for feeding silkworm.
Silkworms?
Silkworms.
Oh, if you wanted to make silk.
Yep.
Got it. Well, I'm not too fond of silkworms, but... Or any kind of bag.
I don't know if you can raise them here or not.
Right. Or any kind of bagworm, for that matter.
Well, yeah, but most bagworms you can't use to produce silk.
Right. What are they?
Or at least,
What are they good for besides making annoying bags in your trees?
Silkworms or bagworms?
Bagworms.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but if somebody could figure out how to extract silk from tent worms, it'd be a huge industry.
Yeah. The security guard over here where I delivered my trailer is probably looking at me like, what in the world is he eating? I told her I was a forager.
Ooh.
Well, or that I was going to go foraging. So, she knows what I'm doing. But maybe in seeing me do it will encourage her to get out here and look for stuff too. I might even go tell her what's over here. Tell her what I found.
Tell her what you found.
Yeah, because there's tons of them. Some of them aren't quite ready yet. So she comes back out here in a day or two, there'll be more ready to pick, ready for the pickings. Can you hear me chomping through the weeds in the woods?
I hear you walking through them.
Yeah, that's mostly what I'm looking for. There's other things here that are edibles, but since I found the berries, I'm focusing on the berries.
Wow, I'm kind of tired.
I'm Kano. Glad to meet you. Kind of tired.
Yeah. I think the most strenuous thing I did today was dig some fence posts.
Ah. So what's yarrow good for again?
Yarrow is really good for your blood circulation. I'm not sure what else it's good for, but if you cut yourself and you're bleeding, it will help coagulate the blood real quickly. It's also good at healing wounds.
So it's not a blood thinner.
It's not a blood thinner.
Okay. And plantain is good for any kind of bug bite. Maybe that's why you're killing ticks.
Yeah. Eating plantain and sucking down the yarrow.
Oh, yeah.
Say, I'd rather be immune than poisonous. Because I still get these welts when they bite me.
Yeah. They don't bite me too much. They crawl all over me, but they don't bite me.
Yeah, the little ones, when the little ones bite me, I end up with a sheet full of little baby dead ticks. Kind of gross, actually.
Kind of gross. Yeah, I mean, I find them crawling on me all the time, but very rarely do I find one biting me. Last time I was home.
Bite you.
Yeah, they bite you. I attract them, and then they go to you and bite you and die.
That is true. It is true. Sometimes if I hop in the truck after you've been driving for a while, they will crawl all over me from where you were sitting.
Like a parasite, they will crawl all over you. Like a parasite, think of all the good things they will do. Like a parasite, they will crawl all over you.
Tasty. So tasty.
Yeah. I don't know why they don't bite me.
Like I said, I'd rather be immune than poisonous, so apparently
yeah.
You're immune.
Something. Well, I'm a vampire. Even though vampires are attracted to each other, they don't bite each other. The world is a vampire. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
The world is a vampire. It sucks the life out of you?
Something like that.
Ouch.
I don't know how the song goes. But I just remember that part. The world is a vampire.
So what's Ron Paul up to this week?
Oh, yeah, Ron Paul. Hang on.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ron Paul. I didn't mean to forget about you.
Ron Paul, you're our favorite.
You're retarded. Oh, wait.
That's all our doo-wop girls in the background. That wasn't me.
Yeah. I'm still trying to learn this stupid phone. If I try to dial the phone number wrong, it won't work. Right.
Oh. Well, while you're trying to work that, one of the reasons we went into town is because Bill's SIM card.
A16. For many of us concerned with liberty, the letters NDAA have come to symbolize Washington's ongoing effort to undermine the U.S. Constitution in the pursuit of constant war overseas. It was the National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, for 2012 that introduced into law the idea that American citizens could be indefinitely detained without warrant or charge if a government bureaucrat decides they had assisted Al-Qaeda or associated forces that are engaged in hostilities against the United States. No charges, no trial, just disappeared Americans. The National Defense Authorization Bill should be a congressional mechanism to bind the president to spend national defense money in the way Congress wishes. It is the nuts and bolts of the defense bill, and as such, is an important oversight tool preventing the imperial executive from treating the military as his own private army. Unfortunately, that is no longer the case these days. Why am I revisiting the NDAA today? Unfortunately, since 2012, these bills have passed the House with less and less scrutiny, and this week the House is going to vote on final passage of yet another defense authorization, this time for fiscal year 2017. Once again, it is a terrible piece of legislation that does great harm to the United States under the guise of protecting the United States. Unless some last-minute changes take place, this latest NDAA will force young women for the first time to register to be drafted into the U.S. military. For the past 36 years, young men have been forced to register with the Selective Service when they turn 18 or face felony charges and years in prison. Under a perverted notion of equality, some people are cheering the idea that this represents an achievement for women. Why cheer when slavery is extended to all? We should be fighting for an end to forced servitude for young men and to prevent it being extended to women. The argument against the draft should appeal to all. You own your own body. No state has the right to force you to kill or be killed against your will. No state has a claim on your life. We are born with freedoms not granted by the state, but by our Creator. Only authoritarians seek to take that away from us. Along with extending draft registration to women, the latest NDAA expands the neocons' new Cold War with Russia, adding $3.4 billion to put U.S. troops and heavy weapons on Russia's border because, as the bill claims, Russia presents the greatest threat to our national security. This NDAA also includes the military slush fund of nearly $60 billion for the president to spend on wars of his choosing without the need to get Congress involved. Despite all the cries that we need to rebuild the military, this year's defense authorization bill has a higher base expenditure than last year. There have been no cuts in the military. On the contrary, the budget keeps growing. The defense authorization bill should remain notorious. It represents most of what is wrong with Washington. It is welfare for the well-connected defense contractor and warfare on our economy and on the rest of the world. This reckless spending does nothing to defend the United States. It is hastening our total economic collapse. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414 every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website at ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page. Thanks for listening.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Trying to figure out how to do this right. Hang on.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Woohoo. And did you hang up?
No.
Did
it hang up?
All right, I hear you. I don't hear it anymore.
Yeah, no more modern slavery.
Oh, okay. I guess it'll hang up eventually. It's still connected, but can't figure
but it's quiet.
But it's quiet. That works. Yeah, there's a couple things I wanted to address. The first part, before I forget, you know, the new law that they're trying to pass, or maybe it's something that they already passed, where it said something about a bureaucrat can just arbitrarily say or snatch one of us up because we are a threat to America. Well, they're actually the ones who's a threat to America, so we can use that policy in reverse on them if we are smart enough to actually use it. But most people probably aren't smart enough to actually use it. They'd be like, oh, I don't know how to do that. We just need to stand up.
They have a modern public school education, so of course they don't know how to do that.
Right. Well, basically, the way we could do that is we just band together and we say, look, hey, these guys are in violation of their own law. That doesn't apply to us, but it applies to them.
Yep. That's all Ray Hall keeps telling me over and over again.
Right. So they're acting as if it applies to us, but it applies to them, and they're in violation of their own law. Because they're a threat to America. I was hearing on the radio the last couple of days. I normally don't listen to the radio. I put my stuff on my thumb drive, and I listen to it on the thumb drive at random.
Yep.
But lately I was listening to the radio, and they were pushing the draft. Heavy duty. or not the draft, but telling men on the radio that they need to go register, and letting them know that if they don't, they can lose their driver's license privileges and other things. I can't remember what all it said.
Okay, good.
Huh?
Yeah, good.
Well, yeah, well, Ron Paul said...
You shouldn't be seeking that privilege anyway.
I'm choking on a berry. Yeah.
Choking on a blueberry.
Yeah. But, Ron Paul said basically they can throw us in prison if we don't.
Yep.
Register. And now they're going to be doing that to the women if the law passes, which the law will pass because not enough people are going to stand up to it.
Well, I know. A lot of people are going to say, oh, that's equality of women right there. Got to vote yes on that.
Right. When it should be the reverse. Oh, equality means that the men should not have to register just like the women don't have to register.
Yeah. Instead of increasing slavery, we should be decreasing slavery.
Right. Yeah, I had one associate try to convince me to join the military. And I'm like, well, one, I'm too old. And two, why do I want to fight an unjust war? He said, because the money's good. What?
Money's like, never good if it means murder.
Right? Yeah, because the money and the benefits are good. I'm like, screw that. I'd rather fight the problem and join the enemy and be labeled a so-called terrorist rather than kill innocent people. And fight an unjust...
So you're pro-terrorism.
Right.
So you're a terrorist.
Basically.
Yeah. If the money's good, you're willing to be a terrorist.
Right, so he's not so much a friend anymore. He was. But, yeah, it just makes me not trust him anymore. But, if I'm going to fight an unjust war, I'm going to fight on the just side and fight the injustice.
There you go.
And our government is not the just side.
Well, it's not our government. If it was, we wouldn't be having this particular discussion.
True that. The New World Order and the powers to be.
Yep.
Well, yeah. What better excuse to send kids to the school camps? Well, mommy's got to go fight in the war, and so does daddy. So I got to go to military school.
Can you say Spartan, anybody?
Spartan?
Yeah, Sparta. Greek city-state. The children belonged to the state. When they turned 3 or 4 years old, they were taken from mom and dad. And the state raised them from there on.
Oh, right. There's a big
raspberry. Everything in the state was military.
Yeah, see, and when I was younger, I used to think that that was a good idea. Not that the kids go to military school or whatever, but that fresh out of high school, everybody should serve one term in the military. And then what? After that, they should, you know, go drive truck for, you know, a couple years. And then they can go do whatever they want to do. But now I don't think that's such a good idea.
That's why all the college students want Bernie. Bernie Sanders. That's why all the college students want Bernie Sanders.
Oh, right. So you can get that free college money.
You can get that free college education and actually get a real career that they can actually do when they get out of college, because, you know, right now it's just a mess and nobody knows what they're going to do when they do this, that, and the other. But Bernie will decide for you.
Right. That's what I want.
Bernie will decide what you're going to do.
Right. They'll have a test, and that test will determine what your skills are, just like in the military, and whether they actually acknowledge the results of the test or not, they'll put you where they think they need you.
Yeah.
But the test will just be a smokescreen to make you think that, oh, well, my skills are in this department, when they're really not. Because it's like, I took the test, they told me, says, oh, you'd be perfect in the motor pool. Maybe. Right, that's what they stick everybody, right? Either infantry or motor pool. So, I wasn't a hothead enough to maybe be in infantry, so that's why they stuck me in motor pool.
There you go.
But I hate working on vehicles. I mean, actually, I'm actually not that bad at it, but I hate it.
There you go.
I got a friend who's a mechanic. And every time I help him work on vehicles, it's almost like I know more than he does, but I don't. I'm like, I don't know. But I just hate working on cars. I just hate it. Vehicles, period. I just hate it. I may have the brain to do it, but I don't have the patience.
There you go.
So their ASVAB test was wrong. They need to fix their test, because that's not the department for me. I actually wanted to be a pilot.
I know they gave me a test where they charted all your skills and abilities and interests in this great big pie chart circle thing. And, you know, they didn't even bother bringing me into the counselor's office after I took the test.
You scored equally in all of them.
Yeah, I shotgun over the entire thing.
Wait.
My aptitude was in all directions. They're like, well, whatever the heck he decides he wants to be, he's good enough to be just exactly that.
There you go. Yeah. They never gave me that test. If they did, I didn't see it.
You know, I thought it was kind of funny. Like, not only does he have aptitude in every direction, he has a higher score than everybody else in every direction. Even the ones who scored specific areas.
And I did have a high score. But I took longer to finish the test. Because I'm slow. But, that being said, in school, I had one of the highest IQs in the whole school growing up. But they had me in LD because I was, or LD classes because I was slow.
Yeah.
But that's my Virgo mind. If they knew astrology, they would know why I was slow, because my Virgo takes longer to process stuff. I'm analyzing it. That's why. But they didn't get that. They didn't do astrology.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Yeah, I retain more, but I'm slower at processing what I'm retaining. But that's a problem. Because the smarter you are, the less attractive you are to women.
Really?
Statistics show that being smart is a disadvantage to getting women. Dumb guys get more chicks than smart guys.
So you really believe in idiocracy?
I don't believe in it, but apparently women do. So it makes me question, you know, makes me question women.
Yep. Don't blame you.
But I still want one. Right, I just don't want a dumb one who likes dumb guys. But even, you know, statistics even show that smart women tend to go for stupid guys. Or
yeah.
More stupid than them.
Yep.
So I just got to find one that's smarter than me. Hey, there you go.
There you go.
And one who's actually smarter than me and not one who thinks she is.
Right. So I have your IQ tested and say, okay, I want a woman who's at least 5 points smarter than me.
Right. Well, I'm in the 130s, so I need someone who's at least 140s.
There you go.
I mean, and 130, well, that's what I was in school. And 130s isn't really that high. You know, like 600 is high. 700 is like super high. But
it's all relative, and since the average intelligence has gone down, a 100 IQ is what we used to consider a moron.
Well, yeah, I mean, because a genius is in the upper, you know, 4 or 5. You know, actually, I think even
140 used to be considered genius.
Oh, okay.
But if the average IQ can no longer count change.
Well, yeah, I know, right? What's change?
Yeah, there you go. Whatever the average is the 100%. And if the 100% can no longer count change, I mean, that used to be what qualified you as being a moron, is if you're too stupid to count change.
Okay, so basically.
So now the average IQ is a moron.
Right.
So if you got an IQ of 100, you're a moron, because that's the average.
Okay, so now if my IQ was 130-something, it's probably more like 150-something now, according to the average.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, Jennifer Berries.
Jennifer Berries. Yep. All right. Well, I got to call it a night. I'm getting pretty tired.
Yeah, it's about getting too dark to forage, too. So I'm going to go ahead to the truck stop and grab me a shower and get on the internet and do some work.
Yep, yep.
All righty. Well, join us next week at Sunday at 7 p.m. at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything but Dungeons and Dragons.
What's that?
Well, yeah. Actually, I don't know. You're more of an expert on that subject than I am. But, excuse me. We actually aren't on the internet Sunday at 7. We're on the phone line Sunday at 7. So you can go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com to get the phone number, and then you can call in Sunday at 7 p.m. and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. Even Dungeons and Dragons, but that's a boring subject, so we really don't talk about
it. It's the wrong god!
So, yeah. Alrighty. Party on.
Party on.
Alright, talk to you later.
Hi.
Alright.